this week. Okay, we're not over the slack. I was practicing the time everybody. And I asked Achille if maybe I got some of the halachas wrong.
Maybe you got some of them right.
Test Tishri, Erev Yom Kippur, 22nd of September. Rabbi Malcolm Herman, inspirational insights into the tefillahs of Yom Kippur. If you can, please bring a muster along and you can listen in.
Can you move this to the other side just to get slightly closer?
So I want to share with you a number of insights, very difficult to know, which are known already. Often one assumes that people have heard this before, and then I say it over, and oh, I've never heard that before. Which I would say, so I'm going to share some which may be known, some not, but the goal is... I've been here before, that's a wrong assumption. So the goal is to give us moments within the tefillah which allow us to focus. That is the goal. So let me start off with a vart, which I think is well known, it may not be, and that is that it gives us a tremendous approach to Yom Kippur. We know that tonight, Kol Nidre will say, Baruch Shem, Kol Mechusa, no number, Ed, allowed. The basic reason is because in Yom Kippur we're like the Melochim, and therefore we have the right, once a year, to intone this particular phrase aloud, which really is the province of the Melochim. However, Mariv, Motzi Yom Kippur, we say, Baruch Shem, Kol Mechusa, no number, Ed, quietly. If I was to ask you, when do you feel more like a malach? Tonight, when you've had maybe an extra plate of chicken soup, which perhaps wasn't such a good idea, and you managed to fill yourself up to survive for 25 hours. Or tomorrow night? Tomorrow night you spend 25 hours in tzoim, in tefillah, in focus. L'chaira, you would imagine that Motzi Yom Kippur would still say it aloud. So, I once saw some years ago, I think it was the Maharal, when Yaakov Avinu is fleeing from Esau, and he lies down, and he has the vision, Sunan Mutzav Arzah. So Rashi discusses exactly where the Sunan was. Rashi also says, the Malachim that ascended and descended with the Malachim that accompanied him, they were his guardian angels, Prutuk Mashmai. And the angels that were with him in Eretz Yisrael couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, so had to be changing of the guard. So I think as the Maharal asked, but it's a strange thing, because wherever he was, in terms of where he wasn't at the border of Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't at the border, he was somewhere in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. So why didn't they take him all the way to the border? Take him to the border. So he says that a person is classified not just by where they are now, but where they're aiming towards. Where are we aiming towards? So Yaakov Avinu was aiming out of Eretz Yisrael. As soon as he was aiming out of Eretz Yisrael, his madrega dropped. He was no longer considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Malachim changed then and there. And the same thing as well, of course, when we go into Yom Kippur. So the Maaseh were facing a day of 25 hours of Kedusha and Tara and of focus. Therefore we say, Baruch Shem Kol Mechusa Lo Named. With the best one in the world, Motzi Yom Kippur, we're facing breakfast. Break fast, literally, quite literally. And therefore, it's not the same. But the Vort is very critical for Yom Kippur, because the Maaseh, we're basically standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we want to demonstrate that we have a direction. We want to demonstrate that we're standing on Yom Kippur, and we have, and it's a comfort to know, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will classify us, not just that, understand that part of where we are now is where we're genuinely aiming towards. If we within ourselves can find that we want to, we're yearning to be closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that becomes part of us now, that's how we are classified. Thought number one. Number two, I don't know if any of you heard that the Gates of Kodesh sent out a CD. With various different material, including a beginning from the Gates of Rav Zimmerman. Anybody hear that? Very fascinating vort there, which I'd like to try and put over. We say at the beginning of Yom Kippur, V'nislach v'chol ha'am 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 very beginning of Kol Nidre. It's a very remarkable statement that we make. We say, V'chol ha'am v'chol ha'am v'chol the whole people was b'shogeg, everything we ever did was b'shogeg. Now, the Maisa, if we think back on our previous year, can we genuinely say, can we genuinely say that everything we do is b'shogeg? Tash number one. Kash number two is very interesting. We hear what you talk about. The ger amongst them, as though some or other, normally the ger is from Klal Yisrael, from Adas B'nei Yisrael. Why are we highlighting the ger beyond Adas B'nei Yisrael? So he said as follows. He says, Lamaisa, that the power of Yom Kippur is such that we have a realization and understanding that we don't have the rest of the year. The uplift from Yom Kippur means that suddenly we appreciate what Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Suddenly we appreciate the impact of our avodas. Suddenly we appreciate the profundity of our mistakes. We have a whole new realization. We become new people. We're not the people that we were during the year. We have a whole new realization, a whole new appreciation, a whole new recognition of who we are and what Kadosh Baruch Hu is. And with this new insight, we can look back and say, my gosh, I didn't know what I was doing before. I didn't realize what I was doing before. I can mamish claim that I was b'shoyge. I didn't know what I was doing before. Now I see what I see now, feel what I feel now, that I realize that everything I did before was mamish inadvertent. I didn't have this knowledge. I didn't have this awareness. I acted with a lack of awareness. And that's part of Itzumo Shal Yom. We know that Rebbe says that Itzumo Shal Yom is mechapa. And even though we pass that for Chomim, the Rambam brings, as he quotes, that when the Rambam brings that the power of Yom Kippur, he says it's it's Tzumah Shem Yom Kippur plus Tshuva. But the Rambam also recognizes, like Rebbe, that there's a very power in the day which propels us to be different people, to see life differently, and realize that the way we acted during the year was much without the knowledge that we have now, without the acute awareness that we have now. So we can say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Manisla, forgive us. Kilacholam Mishkaga. I look back at what I did. I was without knowledge, was without awareness. I didn't realize what I was doing. Also, a chal ager. So a ger, of course, has got a few to undertake mitzvahs, a couple of mitzvahs, but they don't need to learn every halacha before they become a ger. They commit to learning every halacha, but they don't learn every halacha. So let's say a person becomes a ger, and then they do something wrong. But they do something wrong because they know the halacha. So are they held culpable for that? No, because they're still on their journey. So in the same respect, that's why we invoke the metaphor almost of the ger. We're also gerim. We say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the commitment is there, 100%. But so many times we didn't have the awareness that we have now. We didn't have that understanding that we have now. There's a very, very, so it's an amazing way to start off in terms of Yom Kippur, that if we can get to a level in Yom Kippur itself, we can genuinely say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, today I realize what I ought to have been, today I realize what I can be, and look back on the previous year and say, oh, halavai, I had that awareness this time last year or throughout the year, I'd be a completely different person. But what's the one thing we must not do? So there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Beis, pasuk Lamed Gimel. No, not Lamed Gimel, sorry, one second. Yeah, sorry, Lamed Hay. We say, Hinani Nishpot Osach al Omrech lo Chotasi, which means that I judge you, I'm entering into judgment with you because of your saying I have not sinned. Hinani Nishpat Osach al Omrech lo Chotasi. I enter into judgment with you, said Hashem, because you say I have not sinned. That's the one thing we mustn't do. To turn around to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say on Yom Kippur, you know, I haven't really done these things wrong. I haven't really sinned. I haven't sinned. Then it means one mamish does not have that awareness. Even on Yom Kippur, one doesn't have that awareness. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we make mistakes. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we do our avodas. That's part of, unfortunately, life. That's part of life. However, to turn around and say to Hashem, I never did anything wrong, that would be the ultimate avodah. He brings this from the Radvaz, very amazing Radvaz. Radvaz says, Yerushalayim doesn't mean we don't sin. That's life. Unfortunately, we do things wrong. Yerushalayim is to... you can have Yerushalayim if a person sins, but they recognize the Avera and do their best to repair the Avera, even though the Avera. That's still a Yerushalayim, because it means that really, in those moments of calm, in those moments of tranquility, in those moments of clarity, I can turn around and say, how can I do that? How can I let myself go? How did I lose the clarity of what ought to be? And therefore, that's how we start off Yom Kippur. And this is I want to share with you, I can see that we're nowhere near enough time to get through even probably half of what I was planning to do, but we're going to say several times in every Amidah on Yom Kippur, we're going to quote the Pasuk, So we say it tonight, and it's incorporated into all the Amidas of Yom Kippur. In the paragraph, right, and just before it's saying every one of the Amidas, so it is the passage that describes Yom Kippur. On this day, will give you kapara, will wipe away your sins, to purify you. So it seems to be, in our tshuva of salvation brings, in the process, there seems to be two separate processes in terms of what Yom Kippur offers. Two processes. And he says that the Maisa, for every Aveira, there are two separate impacts. On the one hand, there is a penalty charge. The person does something wrong, there's a penalty charge. You can't help it, right? So there's going to be an onus of some sort. On the other hand, there is also a contamination of a person's hashava. Contamination of a person's hashava. A person loses kedusha by virtue of avera. Two separate impacts of an avera. There's the penalty charge, it comes with it, the onus. On the other hand, there's also the contamination of a person's hashava. So clearly, when it comes to teshuvah, and the response of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we need two separate responses. We need a kapara and we need a tahara. In his view, kapara is when a Kodesh Baruch Hu cancels the penalty charge. Brings a couple of rayas from Chumash. We find with Yaakov Avinu, achbar aponov, b'mincha ha'olechas nafonov. With Esav, he said, I will wipe out his face. What does that mean? So Rashi says there, shekol kapara eitz al oven v'cheit, v'eitz al ponim, kula loshin kinuach, v'avor aschein. Means I'm going to wipe away. Esav came to Yaakov with various intentions to punish, and Yaakov said, with a mincha, with a gift I'm going to offer him, I'm going to cancel that debt, I'm going to eradicate that, I'm going to wipe that away. Says Rashi, loshin kapara means to be able to wipe away any penalty or any potential threat that may be looming. Therefore, kapara relates to the removal of the einish. But kapara by itself does not create, it's not tahara. Tahara is a separate process altogether. Tahara is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores the neshama to its pristine state, the way it once was. Now, very interesting, because the mice in days gone by, the kapara process came through karbonos. The karbonos, the Kohen Gadol, who represented us in Yom Kippur. And in a similar way, when it comes to most of the viduyim on Yom Kippur are also said betzibur, apart from one. That is, a viduy this afternoon is not said betzibur. Where is that viduy learnt out from? Lifnei Hashem Titoru. Lifnei Hashem Titoru. Before you come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should be matahari yourself. Says Al Tshuva, there's ein shliach for tahara. For tahara, no one else can do that for you. For the kapara, for the annulment of the penalty charge. So just like the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur could do the kabbalas on your behalf, and that had an effect for you, fine. So that we say those viduim also betzibur. But when it comes to the viduim, which is representing only tahara, if nei Hashem titaru, that ain't shliach tahara. That's got to be done you by yourself. That can't be done by the tzibur. Therefore, he suggests that's why the Maisa, this one, is the only viduy that's said without a repetition. And a public repetition is the viduy this afternoon, Lifnei Hashem Titoru. But again, it highlights, accentuates what's on offer on the day. A successful Yom Kippur not only cancels any onish chas v'sholem, but also mamish restores the neshama and gives the neshama a whole new pristine existence. It struck me, and to a degree, Rav Dessler says something similar, if we think about the differences between the Ashamnus and the Al-Khaits. So we have basically two different types of viduy. We have Ashamnu and Al-Khaits. What's the difference between the two? Well, Rav Dessler says that the Ashamnus are the attitudes that underpin the resulting actions. So the person is a Boige. A person does not appreciate the gifts HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, but Avada is not going to say brachos properly, we're not going to daven properly, we're going to be kofi tov. So the attitude is the person's abogin. That results in various of the actions which are the alchets. So Dessa says the Ashamnus.
The alchets or the Ashamnus?
The Ashamnus are the attitudes, and the alchets is the reactions that result from that. The Ashamnus is the underlying attitude or character traits. And the alchets then is the translation of that into the mistakes that we make. In a similar way, although he doesn't say himself, it struck me that maybe the Ashamnus are more about the tahara, what's happened to us as people. We have become guilty. We've become traitors. Latsna, we've become people that ridicule. Maybe our Shamlin is more focused on, in a similar vein, the Taharapa, what's become of us, how Chet has contaminated us as people. Sorry, that's right, how Chet has contaminated us as people. Then the Al Chet deal with, okay, there's also a penalty charge. Now that I recognize how my character has been destroyed or ruined through my own transgressions, therefore I now need to take into account the actions that resulted from that. So I'm suggesting, based on this concept, that the Ashamnus is Bederach Tahara. It wants to transform us, restore us, recognize the damage we've done to ourselves. And the Al-Khaitz is the actions that then result from that. Very, very interesting raya that the Sefer Al-Tshuva brings for this concept. So when it comes to, so of course, Rebbe says that Yom Kippur by itself is Mechafe. Now the Maaseh, imagine someone who is Mesachet Mekuvia, someone who is a gambler or was dishonest in some respects, who's possible for Eidus. Apostle for Eidus. Does that mean, according to Rebbe, that after Yom Kippur they can now go back into Beis and give Eidus? No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean that. So he suggests that, of course, because really when it comes to Psul Eidus, that's focused much more on the Tahara. Who are you as a person, rather than the action? So even if you now desist from the action, doesn't mean you have now reformed as a person. And in fact, the Rambam brings, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that when is a person rehabilitated, Masachet Mekuvia? Only when Mishish Ishbru es Paspaseim. When not only do they stop gambling, stop acting in a dishonest way, but they take the equipment and they smash it. Kol Zman, they've still got it in their cupboards, then they may have achieved a kapara, but they haven't achieved a tahara, because they've demonstrated they haven't yet detached themselves from the lifestyle which corroded and corrupted them as a person. Now, and it could be as well, it could be maybe, again, a suggestion, we say Avinu Malkinu Chotono Lefanacha. That's how we start off. Let me talk about more detailed but this first one, Chotono, maybe in the same vein, is that it's about who we have become. We have become, not just what we have done. Let me share with you a couple of thoughts in terms of the Al-Khaits and the Al-Shamlis. Something that struck me a couple of years ago, I think it's a double posha, but it always worries you when you never see it actually written down in someone authoritative. But to my mind, anyway, just see what you think. The Maisa, before one can say on Hashamlu, one has to have a certain belief in oneself. Because if we're saying to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashamlu is all the Al-Khaitz, we're apologizing for our actions, for our speech, even for our hirhurim. Now, unless we genuinely believe that we are critically important in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world, then how can we apologize for our actions? If you do something utterly insignificant, there's nothing to apologize for. If a person is utterly insignificant, there's nothing to apologize for. So, ironically almost, before one can say the Al Shamus, one has to mamish believe in oneself. I have to believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given me mash ish of kudosai, a role in this world, a job to do, and my job is to do that job. And therefore, I can only apologize for my transgressions if not only do I have a belief in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but I actually believe in myself. Almost one needs conviction before one can have contrition. Conviction, belief in oneself, and then, and only then, you say, well, now I realize who I am, now I can understand why my avarice, why my actions, why even my thoughts were so significant in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's plans. Just a couple of ideas in terms of some of the Al-Khaits. I once saw a vault some years ago, Al-Khaits Shachotan Lefanach and Bivli Das. Bivli Das. The Das means two things. Either means without knowledge, or could also mean without awareness. Das can also mean awareness. So without knowledge, we understand that ignorance is no defense in the law, and therefore, the fact I didn't know the halacha is not a defense. But what do I mean by without awareness? It's quite a thing to apologize for transgression without awareness. So I saw a mashal once, which is quite an unusual mashal. Imagine a person is going on a cruise with a friend. You're booked to go on a cruise with a friend, and you planned it, and you booked in a wonderful cruise. You're traveling around some exotic place, and suddenly the alarm bells start ringing, and the ship's hit a rock of some sort, and it's every man for himself scrambling for the lifeboats. And you run to the side of the boat, and you jump overboard, and you scramble into a lifeboat, and you're halfway back to safety when you remember, "Oh, gewalt, I came with my friend. I forgot my cover." And you watch the ship go down, not everybody survives. No. How reprehensible would that be? It's not very nice. Came with your friend. But perhaps we could understand in the heat of the moment when you were running for safety and for survival, you forgot your friend. What happens if the next time you go on a cruise, you're not with your friend, you're with your spouse? And you're halfway back to shore, you suddenly go, "Oh, you go, Val, I came with my wife." Everybody for Shteisov, that is just unacceptable. What's the chiddush? Are you running for your life, survival? Because if one can do something without thinking of the impact on one's spouse, that itself is an indictment on the very relationship. It's an indictment on the relationship. We say without, which also means without awareness. If I can do something in this world with the life Hashem has given me without thinking of the impact of my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's an indictment on the relationship. How could you do it without thinking? How can you come to how could you do it without thinking? It's an indictment on the relationship. Another so I saw this here, the Sefer by it's called the Master Companion by Rabbi Rubenstein from Glasgow. It's a friend of Racha. Beautiful Sefer. I'm not sure where I got it, but beautiful Sefer. It brings that it's about imutz halev, which means the hardness of the heart. So he brings from the Gemara, of course, that sometimes a person does Naveira and repeats the Naveira, it becomes like Heter, and therefore our inability to deal with that was also the result of our own transgressions. In a similar vein, Ba'onis Ibarotzen, I can't remember I saw this, I think it was from Chaim Friedland, I'm not sure, Ba'onis Ibarotzen. Again, normally we say, Onis Achwana Pacha, Kodesh Baruch Hu will forgive us in done Ba'onis. How is it over here? We say Ba'onis Ibarotzen. So Onis can mean two things. Either it can mean, again, that I put myself in a situation whereby it became impossible to get out of. You know the situation. You ask somebody else, how was the shir? Now, you know this person is not particular about Shemiras and Loshen. Not particular should be. And you then get a whole barrage of criticism about the shir, and you can't, you know, you're then stuck. You're like, oh, what can I do? I was stuck. Well, at my side, I placed myself in a situation whereby I couldn't get out of it. But the decision to place myself in that place was my decision, not that. So Ba'onis can also mean that I take responsibility for the times where I place myself in a situation where I couldn't get out of. Okay. Salach Machal Kaper, we said it so many times over in Yom Yeroim. Says in Sisei Chaim, what do these three words mean? Salach is for the Chet Atzma, the basic level of forgiveness. Hashem, forgive me for the transgression, for what I did, I recognize I did wrong. Machal is for the Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem. Useful to remember the definition of Nefesh HaChaim, what is a Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem comes from the word chalal, which means a hole, which means that my actions are such that the way I behaved implied that where I am, God isn't. There's a vacuum. My actions are such that it implied that with the way I behave, that where I am, God isn't. There's a vacuum there. It's a very powerful definition. So we say to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, listen, if I did something wrong, when I did something wrong, there's Salah, forgive the Avera, Machal, which is please forgive the Chilul Hashem. Kapelona means almost, it's interesting over here, what Rav Soloveitchik would call the Tahara, actually. Kapelon, over here, he says, is k'ilu lo chota klal, because though I never sinned whatsoever. So the Salat is the basic forgiveness of the transgression, but not the level whereby it's no longer, it's wiped out completely. Almost the cancellation of the penalty charge there, different from the way we've done before. Machal is the Chilul Hashem, and Kapper is now give me complete Tahara, just free me completely from any association with this sin. So, I think it's important to know the difference between those. Let's focus very briefly, if you have a mouse in front of you, on the split of the Atah Kodesh of Achein Tein Pachtecho. Achein Tein Pachtecho. So we say the paragraph of Achein Tein Pachtecho three times. Again, I don't know if it's well known or not, but the Avodram brings that the Loshen of Achein is nothing's by coincidence. The Loshen of Achein evokes very important historical memories. Why? Because Esther said, "V'chein ova ha'melech shelo kados." Esther said, "V'chein, I will now come to that critical moment in the Megillah when Esther Hamalka has undertaken the job and walking through the corridors to same Kamishon." She says, "V'chein, and so ova ha'melech, I'll come to the king shelo kados. I'll come to the king without any right to come." So when Chazal constructed the Amida, they wanted us to remember what we're doing. V'chein ova ha'melech, I'm standing before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and shelo kados. I don't really have a right to be here. I plead for myself, plead for Klal Yisrael, which have that same feeling as of Esther, that I'm inadequate. How am I going to get through this? That sense of humility. There's much that could be said about the paragraphs there. I have to be a bit selective now time-wise. One interesting observation of the Sifsu Chaim. We'll all become one community. I think it's, so he brings over there that this comes, etc. After a in other words, normally friction is created, or always I would say, when a person has their own agenda. I have my own agenda. My agenda clashes with your agenda. However, over here is the real secret of what Achdus is all about. If we can all focus what we're supposed to focus, what Kosh Baruch Hu wants from us, we will have Yerushalayim, then it's not V'yasu, and they will make, there will be, they'll all become, right, a single entity. In other words, that when we're focused on the right thing, and we share a common goal, then Achdus is axiomatic. It's when we step away from that common goal, and think about our own personal needs, our own personal agenda, then the Achdus disintegrates. So of course, over here, there's a very wonderful article by Rabbi Naftali Schiff in the Master Companion that came. Very wonderful article. Where he sees all these three paragraphs as the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to us, think a little bigger. Bigger than you normally are. Normally we get stuck in our own personal agenda. Here, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we recognize we're part of a much bigger plan. There's supposed to be a time where Melech Malchem Lachem Kodesh Baruch Hu is recognized by the whole world. We're davening for that. But his take on it was that it's about us recognizing that we are part of a bigger plan, and part of our plan should be to help accelerate the realization of that bigger plan. Within that, also Sisyphus brings that, as with all Yomim Noroim, we talk about Yom Kippur, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. With all Yomim Noroim, with all Yomim Tovim, even though on the first sight, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur don't have an immediate historical association. However, Yom Kippur does, more so. Because Yom Kippur is the day where Kodesh Baruch Hu forgave us for the Egel. The Egel was the last residue of Mitzrayim that was still within us. As the late Rabbi Bertin used to say, it was more difficult to take Mitzrayim out of Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Mitzrayim out of Klal Yisrael. So the Egel was the final moment, forgiveness for the Egel. On Yom Kippur, so the Maaseh on Yom Kippur, it's particularly relevant to the Zechut Yetzias Mitzrayim. I have run out of time, which is a bit of a shame. Am I allowed to go 2 minutes into extra time? Or not?
Yes. Yeah.
For all the times I came late over the years. So let me share one more thought and one story, if I may, which I always find very helpful personally on Yom Noroim. Many, many times over Yom Noroim, we say Hashem Hashem Kerachem Mechamim. And I have to say, it's one of the areas of davening which I always find quite difficult to know what we're supposed to be thinking of. Right? Everyone knows the Gemara in Shabbos, Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared before Moshe Rabbeinu in a talis, and it taught him Yugimel Midas Harachamim. But, and we say it so many times in Yom Noroim. So, I just want to quote something again from the Sifsei Chaim. Sifsei Chaim brings the discussion on that Gemara from the Maharal. So the Gemara goes that, Amr B'Shem Levi, B'Shash Ol Moshe Noroim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Noroim, he finds Hashem who's Koshe Kosorim Le'osius, who's tying crowns for the letters. And Hashem says to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu says nothing at all. Ein shalom me'ircha. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, why didn't you give me shalom? So, says Moshe Rabbeinu, klum yesh erech no sein shalom the rabbi, it's more on Peitesim and Aleph in Shabbos. Yeah, doesn't ever give shalom to his rabbi, what do you mean? So Hashem says, afal pinket, nonetheless, I need your help, says Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu responds, "V'asa yignu lokeh Hashem kasher dibar tzneimor Hashem erech apayim rab chesed." Moshe Rabbeinu then says, talks about yignu lokeh Hashem, increasing the koch of Hashem, and invokes Hashem erech apayim rab chesed. Says the Maral, this is a close to Maral over here, that what does it mean over here? What's going on in this vikuch, this dialogue over here? So Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu finds a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is tying the crowns together. What does that mean? The crowns were the osios of the letters. The letters of the Torah are the ritzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem. But a crown signifies the kingship in all of its gadlus and shleimus, in all of its perfection. So when a king wears a crown, that represents royalty, represents the national identity. It's almost a convergence of everything that the kingdom and the nation is. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? I need your help to create shleimus in this world. It's a contract between myself and yourself, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. I need your help to create the shleimus in this world. Yes, I do want your help as a human being to emulate the ways of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in so doing, that will create the shleimus in the world that the world needs. And therefore, it's a contract, as it were, between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And the terms of the contract are Yud Gimel Midos. And it's interesting, we say, we talk about the Bris Shlosh Esrei. Zechon Lanu Hayom Bris Shlosh Esrei. The contract Shlosh Esrei. And actually, as Sifsei Chaim asks, you know, why do we need all 13? Because these are mamash the terms of the contract. If Mahu Rachum Afatarachum, if we would take those middas and bring them into this world, we would mamash create shleimus in this world. So what does one think about the Yud Gimel Midas, I think there's one question to think about. To what degree do I internalize the fact that, HaKadosh Baruch, I'm a partner in this process? Hashem, my role in this world, our role in this world, is to partner Hashem in the whole shlemus of creation. And to what degree do I live up to that partnership, and do I fall short of that partnership? And these are the ways, these are the methodologies, these are the terms of the contract. Rachum, Chanon, Erech HaPayim, Emes, these are the terms of the contract. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, I want that, I need that, I need, I've created the world, so that you, as the human beings in this world, can fulfill your terms of the contract, and therefore bring shlemus to the world. I want to finish with one maaser, if I may, one very short maaser, if I may, is that alright?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a very, very, I find it personally very helpful maaser. It's in the Sipurei Chassidim. So it brings from Nachman Chernobyl. He was once down, and he used to go to his Shver, also Chassidisha Godel, for Yom Noraim. And you can imagine the last Mincha of the year, Rosh Hashanah, was a very, very heinige Mincha. And he'd been praying with Mamish for 40 days for this Mincha and all the Shemus HaKadosh and everything else. And takes 3 steps back from Mincha, and Mamish with as much focus as he can, and suddenly all sorts of extraneous thoughts come into his mind. Extraneous thoughts. He thinks to himself, well, what's going on over here? And he tries, where's all the preparation gone? And in the end, he says to himself, you know what can I do? I'm just going to have daven the pashtos in a very simple way. You know, mamish, mila, mamila, what can I do? Almost like a child, what can I do? And he feels quite sobrochen about this. After the Amida, his shver comes over to him and says to him, what did you do? I saw in him, and I saw in Shemayim, that you created such a rash with your mincha that you gave Klal Yisrael the Yeshua that no one else could have given this year. So I personally find that a very helpful story. Sometimes, I don't know about, maybe it's just me, I don't know, you know, you're in the middle of davening Shemona Esra, and some ridiculous thought comes in, like, oh, I forgot to send that email. Is it just me? Yeah, it's just me, okay. But to think that sometimes, as my father taught us 70 times, Rachmana Liberboy, Kosh Baruch wants Lev, Kosh Baruch wants Pashtas, Kosh Baruch wants us just to dab a minna with a certain humility and a certain ability to say, no, Rachmana Liberboy, Kosh Baruch, help us out, we want to be close to you, we want to be better in the year ahead, Mitzvah Shem, Mitzvah Shemaya, we'll have a successful Kippur and a successful Kippur.